Right, but Romans 13, and starting with verse 8. So it says, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. That sounds good, doesn't it? For the one who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Right? Then Paul goes on and says, for this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal. These all sound good, right? You shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And I've come to realize in my life is that, you know, the Lord is always speaking in our lives if we're listening, right? Amen? That God's love and operating and walking in his love really is the key to everything. Even at the end, remember I've said before, at the end of 1 Corinthians 12, because he goes through all the gifts of the Spirit, which are awesome and powerful and needed and relevant. But then the last verse before he goes into 13, but Paul says, but yet I show you a more excellent way. And so that love allows us what? It allows us to forgive others. Is that not true? Amen. So it allows us to not hold anger, unforgiveness, hostility, all those things. So if you think of that, what love does and accomplishes in our lives, it really is the key to walking in peace. Did you know that? We know the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, but everything hinges on love. Is that not true? And so for me in walking in this year, just what the Lord has spoke to my heart is I really want to operate and understand his love more. And his love for others more. I want to be able in this coming year, 20. I was getting ready to say 2014, but that's wrong, right? 2024. We're going back a ways. 2024. I want to have his heart for every person that I see. It's easy to get busy and do our own thing, right? And not realizing that, you know, every individual, there's no guilt trip, but this is just for me. Every individual is going to spend eternity somewhere. And Lord, may I care about that, right? Not just caring about me and my family, which is important, or certain people, but every individual, just think about it, will spend eternity somewhere, either with the Lord or separated from the Lord for eternity. Isn't that a sobering thought? And I'm so grateful that his love was shed abroad in my heart. So grateful that his love accomplished so much, accomplished everything, that I'm not the same person I used to be. Amen? You are not the same person you used to be, right? We can stumble and fall in different things, but man, we are not the same individuals. We are new creations. So reading that thing about love, Lord, I want to know what, when he says love holds no record of wrong, well, I'm sorry, I'm not there yet, not even close. But I know that through love, it's possible. I'm not kidding. It says love holds no record of wrong. Come on, Paul. If I was just having a conversation with him, an individual, like, yeah, sure. But that was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so it is the Word of God. Amen. So thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Gina, for that amazing worship. I can see God is using her more, and I know there's a lot more in her as far as in worship and giftings and everything. So can't wait to see it. And other individuals as well, amen? Not just Gina, but other individuals as well as we start walking in his abilities and callings. One thing I would just want to mention is I'm not quite there, but I've learned that if you're in a time in your life where you're saying, what's next or what am I doing, you know, listen to desire. You know, Psalms 37 says he gives us the desires of our heart. And it starts out by saying in that chapter, saying, hey, this is what you do. Just start being faithful. Being faithful where you're at, it says. Just being faithful. And what happens is the Lord will start giving you desires of your heart. He'll start showing you things. He'll start using you for his glory. Amen. little by little. So I've learned to allow him to lead you by desires. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. John chapter 8, session 74. There's a few people in here that are like 74 years young. That's a good age, isn't it? I was just thinking that. 74 years young. So John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, then Jesus again spoke to them. So he's always speaking to crowds. Have you noticed as we've been through John, now in chapter 8, he was speaking to groups and crowds constantly, wasn't he? So this is another case. Then Jesus again spoke to them, the people, saying, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. And as I was reading that today, just kind of going over my notes, and you know, sometimes you can look at that and say, well, how do I not walk in darkness? How do I walk in light? You know, the truth of the fact is first, right, you give your life to Jesus. You repent, you know, saying, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. Wash my sins away. Come and live with me, live in me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for living in me. Amen. You're born again, and then you start walking by faith. As I was preparing that, one of the biggest factors, and it doesn't matter their age, in this day and age, even people that are maybe a bit older, kind of strain from the faith, or becoming discouraged or despondent. And I just want to encourage you, regardless of your age, where you're at, that you do not allow yourself to become discouraged or despondent. Amen. I'm telling you, Jesus rewards our faith. And it's not just this thing of hanging on. You've heard Pastor Lee, remember, just hanging on to Jesus until he comes. No, our faith, man, produces things in our life, amen, that give us strength, that give us peace, that give us joy, that give us purpose, that lead us into the giftings and callings of God of every individual. And it's amazing that it's by faith. Well, how do we know? Let's since he's saying I want to walk in the light and not in darkness. Did you know you do that by faith? You know, I used to mock faith a little bit. I didn't realize it, but faith didn't mean much to me. My wife would say, "Well, you got to trust the Lord." You've heard me maybe say this, and I couldn't believe this would come out of my mouth. You do that. I'll go by what I see. Well, that's just a very immature Christian, at the least, right? That's pride. That's not understanding what pleases God. Your faith pleases him. Let me just say this, your faith pleases him. Your faith is what moves God's hand. How, you know, where the world mocks faith, let me tell you, it's your faith in Christ that saves you. It's your faith in Christ that moves you out of darkness into his marvelous light. How do we know? Hebrews 11:3-7. Just, you know this chapter, but I just want to read a few scriptures about us walking in the light and not in darkness by faith. It says, by faith we understand that the world has been created. You guys right? By the word of God. Do you believe Genesis chapter 1 and 2 and 3? Amen, I do. By faith, we understand that the world has been created by the word of God, so that what is seen has not been made out of things that are visible. God spoke it, and it came into existence. Right? When people say, do you believe this with me? When people say, do you believe in the Big Bang Theory? You say the same thing as I do. I say, absolutely I do. Jesus said it, and bang, it happened. That's the truth, amen? Let me just listen to these things about faith. Lord, encouraging your faith tonight. By faith, verse 4, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he was attested to be righteous, God testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. Amen. By faith, Enoch. Why was Enoch such a man of God? Did it say because Enoch was such a goody two-shoes, or he did everything right, that everything that he did was so pleasing to God? And I'm sure he was pleasing to God, but that's not what we say here. It didn't say his righteousness. If you notice in this chapter, it didn't say anything anywhere about people's righteousness. It says by their faith. This hall of faith, the things that please God, that moved mountains, that shut the mouths of lions, amen, that brought people from death unto life, the things that God's going to do in your life or my life, our family's life, I'm telling you, is going to be 110% by faith, along with the power of the Holy Ghost in your life encouraging you. But it'll always be by faith. Isn't that amazing? So once again, verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For before he was taken up, he was attested to having been pleasing to God. Well, how was he pleasing to God? By his faith. Regardless of what he was already seeing around him in society, he says, no, I'm trusting the Creator. At that time, the world was pretty young, right? And you already had people, this is right before Noah, about a generation before Noah came on the scene, but people are already doing what they wanted. People already were forgetting about God. People are already doing anything but walking in faith. By faith, Enoch. Isn't that amazing? He was, and then he was gone. And it was by his trust and faith that God moved. I'm telling you, I look back over the last 10 or 15 years and the things that I've gone through, and you can attest in your own life, the things that I've gone through where I've been tempted to be discouraged or give up. I'm so glad that when I had points of discouragement that I did not stay there, that I decided to stay established in my faith and trusting the Lord, because I saw him begin to answer prayer after prayer after prayer. But for many, many lengths of time, it didn't look like anything was happening. So what did I do? When I would complain a little bit, I would say, Lord, forgive me. Straighten up my mouth, say, thank you, Jesus, for what you're going to do and what he is going to do. Amen. It's the same thing for you, trusting the Lord. Our flesh will say, nope, can't see it, not going to happen. Our mind, our will, and our emotions will scream things at us that are contrary to be established in the Word of God, established in faith. And when we continue to do that, not allowing those things to press against us, to discourage us, amen, that's when we start hearing his still small voice come in and speak to us and lead us and guide us, reveal himself to us, show us great and wonderful things, amen. All rooted and grounded in faith. Let me say tonight that your faith is precious. In a time where, once again, where the enemy is trying to beat up on faith, it is your faith that you and I are going to stand before him someday, the Father. And he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come into everlasting life. Every tear will be wiped away. Every tear, amen? And even when I've got questions and things that I don't quite understand that befuddle me and I'm not sure why things are taking place, we continue to trust him. Amen and amen. And I was just thinking of Abraham and Isaac, but I was thinking of Isaac, the son of Abraham, and so he's one of the fathers, right, of the faith. Sorry, guys. And then he has these two sons, and it's Jacob and Esau. And so he's got the promises of God about his generation. And then you see all of a sudden Jacob is going to be one that carries it on, but he's deceiving his father. He comes in, right, to get the blessing. First he takes the birthright from Esau, but that was Esau's fault. And then he comes in before his father with venison. Esau, I want to bless you. So I want you to go and hunt. Get me some venison. You know the story. And I want you to cook it up, and I want you to bring it to me, and I'll eat and be filled because I love your cooking. I love venison. And then he said, I'll bless you. Well, he leaves, and Rebecca hears it and says, hey, it says to Jacob, hey, I want you to deceive your father. So I want you to put, what is it, like lamb's wool on your arms, and I want you to wear his clothes, and I'm going to cook up something, and you take it in there. So he did. He took it in there. He says, well, Sam, is that you, son? Is that you, my son Esau? Yes, it is. Blatant lie, deception. He says, well, sounds like Jacob. He says, come closer. Feels his arms. Well, it feels like Esau. Smells the clothes. Smells like Esau. Eats his... Rebecca, the mother, had made up this lamb to taste like venison, I guess. And he said, well, how did you get this so quickly? Well, the Lord gave me favor. I mean, this is just blatant out deception. And though he gets the blessing. This is the power of our words. He blesses him and blesses him. Words came out of his mouth. He leaves. No sooner had Jacob left than his brother comes in. And he says, hey, I got your venison. It's time to bless me. And he just said he started shaking vehemently. And so I just gave the blessing to somebody else. That wasn't you? No. Well, I can't take that back. I can't take that blessing back. And so you think of what Jacob was thinking. He's saying, Lord, how is this going to work out? How is this blessing going to work out in my family when my son is this son who's even before he's born, God is saying the blessing's going to come through Jacob. And Jacob was a deceiver. Jacob was a liar. Jacob had to run for his life because his brother said, I'm going to kill you. That's what he said. He said, that wasn't right what you did, and it wasn't. But God even knew what he was going to do. And could you imagine Jacob saying, Lord, how's this going to work? This son of mine's a mess. Jacob's a mess. Esau's marrying all these foreign women. He's a mess. And yet God, during that time, had a plan. Amen. Even during the failures of Jacob and Esau, God had a plan. So we know Jacob goes and works for his father-in-law. We know he gets a little taste of his own medicine, remember? So he said, I'll work for, is it Leah? And was it Leah the one that, is Rachel, right? Rachel and Leah? Yeah. And so he wakes up in the morning and there's Leah. And he'd worked 7 years for her. So I was, you deceived me. Notice he started complaining. You deceived me. Isn't it amazing how God can take the most crooked, wicked circumstances and he can turn them around for his glory? By the time Jacob had come back after working for his father-in-law for 14 years, he was like looking at himself in the mirror. He came back with a totally transformed heart for the Lord. Remember, he wrestles with the angel, changes his name to Israel. The guy started out being a deceiver, just looking after his own interest. And the Lord turned that things around. You know what that tells me this evening? Is God, there is nothing too difficult for God. There's no set of circumstances. There's no child too far. There's no thing that he cannot turn around. So Jacob had, he just trusted God. He said, I'm going to trust you. And God began to work on him. Isn't it amazing that Jacob had to continue to trust God by faith? And by the end of things, then you can go to Jacob and his children. Remember when he saw where his youngest son is, not his youngest, but Joseph, remember? He thinks Joseph is dead for like 13 years. So just seeing how he had to trust God. Why am I saying all that? Man, God rewards our faith. Man, when we don't give up, we keep praising him, keep worshiping him. He's the only one that can change certain circumstances anyway. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I've come to realize some of that diligent is I'm just choosing to trust you regardless of the circumstances. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 6, you know this, and without faith it is impossible to please him. Do you know that? Amen? Did you notice he didn't say without righteousness? He is our righteousness. He changes us. But did you notice he didn't say without righteousness? No, he said without faith. Amen. Without faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For the one who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he proves to be one who rewards those who seek him. I'm telling you, he's a rewarder. And he's a lavish rewarder. He lavishly rewards us. Amen. With blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. What is our requirement? I'm putting my trust and faith in you. Come hell or high water. You've heard that saying before. We've seen plenty of hell and high water, so to speak, in this nation right now. But we're going to put our trust in him. I don't care what the economy does. I'm going to put my trust in him. I don't care what I see around him, around me, the decisions I see people make that I love. I'm going to continue to put my faith and trust in him. Amen and amen. Amen. 7, by faith. By faith, Noah, being warned by God, being about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness, which is according to what? Faith. Where did that righteousness come from? His faith. He said, it's going to rain. Noah said, it's never rained before. He says, I want you to build a really big boat. But God, it's never rained before. Everybody's going to make fun of me. Everybody's going to mock me. But there came a day where God rewarded his faith as he built that ark for 100 years. Starts building, and it was 500. In 6 years, he comes in with all the animals 2 by 2. God closes the door, and right then, his faith was rewarded. Amen. God's faith, putting faith. Abraham waited 25 years for his son. Isaac gets his son. This is a miraculous day. This is awesome. And so Isaac's a teenager, and God says, I want you to take your son, your only son, and I want you to sacrifice him. Wow. So what did he do by faith? He took his son, and he put wood on his back. A representation of what Jesus would do for you and I. Thousands of years later, like 2,500 years later, Jesus would carry a cross, would be hung on a tree. He said, cursed is everyone who's hung on a tree. Amen. And he rose from the dead. It's exactly what we read about in Hebrew or James, where it says that Abraham believed that God would raise his son from the dead because he knew that was the promise. So God rewards our faith. Our faith, amen? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Righteousness, which is according to the faith. Jude 1, 20 and 21. So we want to be building ourselves up in our faith, don't we? Things that we do to build ourselves up. We've already talked about, we know that we don't allow our emotions to rule us. Can that be hard sometimes? Yeah. We can't allow our mind to get carried away into all kind of crazy things. We can't allow anxiety to control your life. Can anybody here relate to that? Amen? I can. But you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Did you know that's Tom? And I'll show you. Did you know it's praying in tongues? So praying in the Holy Spirit tongues, I pray in tongues quite a bit. It's amazing how if you pray, and everybody can receive the gift of tongues. They can. I tell you all the time that mine, I wasn't at a church service. I wasn't having anybody lay hands on me. I wasn't doing anything. I was washing windows. And what did I do? I just started speaking in tongues by faith. I was waiting for something to take hold of my tongue and to fire off. It didn't happen for me like that. My wife was like 9 years old. She had this whole electricity come through her body. She's shaking, and she's speaking in tongues. Me, I did it completely, 100% by faith. But yet my tongues, even though it was different experience than Gina, my tongues nevertheless are every bit as powerful in my life. It says, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in the love of God. Remember we were talking about the love there? Keep yourself in the love of God, looking forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. So how do we keep ourselves in the love of God? Well, one thing is realizing that you're a treasure in his sight. He loves you. Amen. Regardless of what's going on, you've got to believe that he loves you dearly. Amen. He paid the ultimate price for you. He gave heaven's best that you and I can become sons and daughters. Amen. Joint heirs with Christ, children of Abraham. So we have to realize, saying, Lord, I'm dearly loved. So regardless of circumstances, Lord, I know that you love me. Amen. Looking forward to the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Another way is keeping in the love of God is those that we're around. What kind of people are we around? Sometimes if we isolate, right, we're not around the other men and women of God, the brothers and sisters in Christ that can encourage us, that can strengthen us, that can share God's love with us. Sometimes the hardest thing, depending on your personality, when things can be a struggle, is isolating. Amen. But breaking out of that and receiving the love of the saints is powerful. Did you know that? It's tangible. You can feel the love of God. Remember, it's called the body of Christ. Why is it called the body of Christ? Because we all have different pieces and parts of it. We're all different. Amen. Different giftings, abilities. But the full body, what do we all joint ligaments together, it says? All of us together form the body of Christ. There's nothing like the love of other brothers and sisters that truly care for you. And forgiving those, because we just talked about love that annoy you. And forgiving those that hurt us. Learning to be mature. I mean, there was many, many years where I would come to church, but I wouldn't really get involved because I didn't want to deal with people. Yeah, does anybody know what I'm talking about? But once I decided to delve in and be a part and serve, then it started sanding off some of those things, and I had to learn how to deal with people in different, you know, scenarios and circumstances. And guess what? I'm still here. Still here. And I still love his church. And I still love his body. And I still love his people. Do you still love his people? Some dying things can happen in church that we don't understand, maybe. Anybody that's been in church for any amount of time understands that. But I still know that he works and does things in this earth through his church. I still know that I receive and grow in his love. There's no such thing as holy hobos. You've heard that saying? There's no such thing as holy hobos. It's the love of God together that helps me change. Because of you guys, I'm a better, more mature man of God. Amen? But you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. 1 Corinthians 14, I just want to talk about, well, you say, how do we know this? Praying in the Spirit is tongues. Well, Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 14, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. So there we go. Praying in the Spirit. He's saying there that when you pray in tongues, you're praying in the Spirit. Let's continue to what he says. But my mind is unproductive. So what is the outcome then? I will pray with the Spirit, but I will pray with the mind also. So I pray in English, right? And I pray in tongues. And it says, I will sing in the Spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. So let me just say one thing I've learned, that praying, and if there's anything I've felt like the enemy really tries to stop people from doing is praying in tongues. I've talked to people, it's interesting when I'll say, hey, one thing, you're born again. If you don't speak in tongues, but you believe in Jesus by faith, you're born again. So you're not going to heaven based upon whether you speak in tongues or not. What I'm saying is there's a baptism in the Holy Spirit that primes a pump where God does more things than we can do in our natural ability. Praying in tongues. Let me just say, praying in tongues has built up my faith much, much. I remember a time of a couple of years ago, probably about the time I became pastor here, that there was some real anxiety. And so what did I do? I just began to pray in tongues. And so I remember, and the anxiety would be so overwhelming, like waves, that I just prayed in tongues constantly, constantly. I bet that took several weeks, but that began to break over my life as I just began to pray in tongues. Because the anxiety can be overwhelming. Anxiety can it's like you can't think, you can't process anything. At the time, you don't even feel like you can trust. It's like your emotions aren't in check and there's nothing you can do about it. Let me just tell you, praying in tongues, it seems foolish to the natural mind. But I'm telling you, just these scriptures that we just read, praying in the Holy Spirit, builds your faith up. Builds your trust up. What are you doing? You're praying the will of God. You're praying things. You'll be praying in tongues. All of a sudden, Jesus will start dumping revelation into you through his word about what you should do, what you shouldn't do. He speaks to everybody who wants to hear him that knows him, not just to pastors or Sunday school teachers. Amen. Or elders of church. Now, he wants to speak to every individual intimately, but we got to want to hear him. Amen. So I've come to learn that praying in tongues can be so powerful. Does that compute with? And if you disagree or if you don't understand, please talk to me. Now, somebody who doesn't pray in tongues, I'm never going to condemn them. I'm never going to look down on them. I'm never going to point fingers at them. I'm just telling you that by the word of God and what I've experienced through that, that praying in tongues has been a powerful force and tool in my life against anxiety and fear. Thank you, Jesus. Then it moves on chapter 3. We got a few more minutes. This is chapter 8, but we're now to verse 13. So I only read verse 12 of John, then I went through all of that about faith, because let me just go back to John 8:12 again. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will walk, who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. And we talked about how powerful faith is there. Amen. You give your life to Christ. If you're trying to not walk in darkness on your own strength, it'll lead to anxiety. It can lead to those things where you don't feel like you measure up, that you're not quite doing enough. You'll never do enough in your own strength, your own ability, your own intellect. It'll always be God building you up, you building yourself up in your most holy faith, trusting him. And he will come through every time. How long does it take? It depends. Some things, the prayers are answered immediately. Sometimes it can take much longer. But when we continue in faith. Matter of fact, I think some of our prayers are answered even the next generation. Or maybe the next generation. I'm convinced that some prayers of a great-grandmother of mine were being answered to the generation that I live in. This godly woman. Just the things that she prayed that I see coming about and coming to happening fruition now in my generation, in the next generation, was being prayed for. That's how powerful faith-filled prayer is. How do you do that? Childlike faith. Lord, I choose to believe it. I choose to declare it. And I'm standing firm on it. I don't care what my mind tells me or anything else. I'm choosing to believe that. And God will reward that. Amen. And then verse 13, it says, so the Pharisee said to him, you are testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not true. So Jesus was and is the light of the world. And see, what the enemy did to Jesus is what he'll do to every believer too. Whether it comes through a voice in your mind, the enemy, what other people say to you, or what you see on TV, or just the things in this world we live in, it's all going to contradict that you're walking with the light of the world. No, that's foolishness, but we know that we are walking with the light of the world by faith. So the religious leaders said no and slandered his character constantly. You know, it was like this, miracles. Jesus did miracles, but It's the power of Satan, Beelzebub. But you're making these things up. What you're saying is not true. So we know that the enemy, that Satan is the liar and the father of lies. We know we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Amen. It says in 1 Timothy 6. So we know these religious leaders who oppose Jesus, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, were actually doing the bidding of who? Satan. So every time they opened their mouths, except a few of them, but all of them were opposing him. Even his own brethren, his brothers and sisters didn't believe in him. So that's what Jesus had to face his whole life. And he did it as an example for you and I. He says, if the world didn't like me, it's not going to particularly like you. But trust me, because I'll still bless you in a world that hates Jesus. But my hand will still be upon you. I'll bless you. I'll lead you. I'll guide you. And I'll allow your life to bring me glory by you putting your trust in me. Regardless what the voices of the world say to you, we have an example of Jesus Christ. So by the time, I love it, by the time that he's washing the disciples' feet, it says, and he knew that he had come from God. So when he grew up, well, who was speaking to him? The same Holy Spirit that's speaking to you and I. And it said that Jesus learned obedience in Hebrews by the things that he suffered. For the things that opposed him, he made a decision, I'm going to walk with the Lord. I'm not going to believe the lies of the enemy. So as he grew up, he became stronger and stronger in his belief and understanding that he is the Son of God. It'd be interesting to know what he thought when he was like 8 or 10. We think he just said, no, I'm the Son of God. But as he was growing, was God showing him that through the Word? To the point that he went into, when he read from Isaiah 60, if you remember, and he closed the book and said, today this word is fulfilled in your sight. As he began to read the Word, the book of Isaiah, the Holy Spirit talking to him and saying, that's you, son. Did you know this is crazy? But as you're reading these same books, and it talks about righteousness and power and God being with Jesus when he was going to come, did you know that same heart and attitude belongs to you and I? If it says we're joint heirs with Christ and we're children of Abraham, we have the same favor. We have the same favor on this earth as Jesus Christ had. I used to hear that and say, that there's no way. But it's biblical. If we're sons and daughters of God, and we're born again of a spirit, a new spirit, and it says that we're the temple of God. His body was the perfect temple. And because of his sacrifice, the Holy Spirit lives in us, and we're his righteousness. He doesn't leave, go in and out. So we have that same blessing and favor on our lives as Jesus did when he walked on the earth. So what does that mean? When the enemy comes or different things refute it? Let me continue real quick. They said, you're making these things up. The scriptures refute you. Remember they would say, nope, those scriptures aren't talking about you. They would say, hey, look, there's nothing that comes from Nazareth in the scriptures, right? And like I said here, his own brothers didn't even believe him. We are like him. Matthew 5:14, real quick. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Amen. Amen. Lord, we just love you. Can you stand up with me? Aren't you so glad that you know the Lord? What's that? I don't think it took as long. I hear you. But you know what? Regardless of where you're at in your age, you arrive just in time. Amen. Thank you, Father God, for revealing yourself to us in a greater, greater measure. Thank you for rewarding our faith. Mike, he rewards our faith, brother. Lord, thank you for helping us to stand firm. Thank you for your blessing upon our lives. As we continue to pray for those things concerning us, Lord, that maybe grieve us or perplex us, Father, thank you for bringing answers. Father, thank you for establishing us, Father, by faith. Thank you, Father, for the joy of the Lord being our strength. Thank you for lifting us up. Thank you for growing us up in you. Thank you for revealing yourself to us in 2024. Father, thank you for speaking to hearts, and thank you for rewarding our faith. Father, we bless you, we praise you, and we thank you for that. We declare it. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen.